Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we're going to continue our conversations where we're challenging our notions of things today. And today we're going to sort of challenge the notion of normal and abnormal.
Right.
I've mentioned before, one of the things I tell my graduate students when I was in graduate school working towards to become a PhD candidate, we have to take qualifying
when
exams.
When you were.
When I was doing it, right. I had to take qualifying exams.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I had on the first day was, what is normal?
Really?
And so, yeah. So the very first day...
That's really a good question. For that kind of an exam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, that kind of exam means that you come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, you sit in front of a computer, and they give you an envelope, you open the envelope, and you see your question, and you have no access to the internet, no access to books, or any
you
preparations.
Had to handwrite it.
I could type it. And you had 4 hours to answer the question.
Type it on a computer?
Uh-huh.
That didn't have access.
Right, no access to the internet or anything. You had a word processing.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
4 hours to answer the question, what is normal?
We used clay tablets.
You had a little bit more than four
soft
hours.
Clay.
Yeah. 4 years to...
Put them in urns and hid them in caves in the Middle East.
So today we're going to talk about a article on saving normal. And this was in Psychology Today.
Yeah.
But this one is about somebody that I think that you're a big fan of.
I am. I've been looking for something that summarizes his work. He's written this book called Saving Normal. And when we say he, we're talking about Alan Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Francis is a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Most famously, he was the in charge of the task force that developed the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, so we will say DSM to shorten that, fourth edition,
mm-hmm.
back in 98, I think
mm-hmm.
it was 98.
Four.
94?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it was. So he developed the fourth edition. When the fifth, and then he sort of dropped out
mm-hmm.
of sight for a while.
Yeah.
Well, when the fifth edition came out,
mm-hmm.
it expanded, once again, expanded the diagnosis.
Yeah.
And so he became critical of this expansion and increase in the number of diagnoses.
Right.
And so I've been looking for some little compact way of summarizing his criticisms of psychiatry and the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the approach that it uses. And this is a nice little article that does that. It's
right.
a real nice, succinct way of summarizing Alan. I recommend his book,
right?
But if you don't have time, this is a good article to get an idea of what he's saying.
Right. Yeah. There's the issue that we're really talking about here
mm-hmm.
is that historically we've always thought about 20% of the population
right.
would meet criteria for a mental condition.
Right.
10% of the overall population,
mm-hmm.
pretty severe, significant.
Right.
Mental disorder or mm-hmm. intellect, mental illness or mental disorder.
Right.
I'm having a hard time making my words.
But about 10% of the population is significantly affected.
Right.
20% probably meets some kind of criteria.
Right.
May not be as severely involved.
Right. Okay. And there were estimates with the DSM-5 that those percentages increased to about 50%. So we went from 20%. To 50% of the population would meet
right.
criteria for some mental illness. Not severely impaired mental illness, but some mental illness. And I think that what Alan Francis is talking about here is that that's a lot. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, half the population isn't ill.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really need to think about what is normal
mm-hmm.
and what are the variations of
right.
normal.
Right.
And how is that different than abnormal?
Right. And I one of the easy ways to summarize this is today you get somebody who likes routines.
Right.
And a friend will say, "Oh, you're a little OCD." that's not a diagnosis,
right.
And you probably don't have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Right.
Okay, you like routines. That doesn't make you. Your house is a little messy. It doesn't mean that you're mentally ill.
Right.
It means you need to clean your house.
Right.
Okay? And that's what he's talking about mm-hmm. here. He's saying, you know, there are these variations of normal.
Mm-hmm.
A few of us are outside that range, but a very few.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had this discussion the other day where we were talking about probably one of the most important things that we do in any area of medicine is we have to get the diagnosis.
Right. Whatever else we do.
Because nothing else that
correct.
You do is going to matter right. if your diagnosis is wrong.
Right.
You know, if the person has tuberculosis and you diagnose them with, you know, a cold.
Six you're children not, with coughs.
Right.
Remember that article.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't be effective in your treatment if right. your diagnosis is wrong. So you have to get
right.
the diagnosis right. So I think that the first problem that we've mm-hmm. that this has created is that we feel the need that to diagnose every symptom.
Right.
I think I referred to him in our conversation the other day as a lot of clinicians are becoming symptomatologists.
They have a symptom checklist.
Right.
That's the problem with DSM.
Right.
DSM is a system checklist.
Right.
You know, if you have these symptoms, you have the disorder.
Right.
Wasn't it Dr. Silver
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
used to rail against this approach?
Oh, he disliked.
Because he was trained before the DSM became this big symptom checklist.
Right.
And the diagnostic process was very different.
Right.
You looked holistically at a person, looked at their entire life,
mm-hmm.
and then you made some clinical judgment.
Right.
You didn't have a checklist in front of you
right.
to check it off and say, okay, right. you have these things.
Yeah.
I think of lab values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time
yeah.
when we didn't have lab values. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so some clinician had to make an assessment based
right.
on their hands and their
right.
eyes. Now you have, oh, your cholesterol is high, so you have to go on a medication. Well, some people have high cholesterol,
right.
and it's not a problem.
Right.
Some people have high blood pressure, and it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have a symptom doesn't mean you have a disease.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And so I think that that's the first part of the problem.
Right.
Is that we see a symptom, and we have to diagnose it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the second problem is sort of set with our system. And that is, as a clinician, if I want, and I have a patient that comes in with insurance, for example.
Right.
If I want to be paid for the services that I provide by the insurance company, I have to give a diagnosis. Whether
I'm struggling with that one right now.
It's difficult. It's difficult because you after seeing a person for 45 minutes
45
to an hour,
50 minutes, right.
you have to give them a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And not all diagnoses will be reimbursed. And so if you want to hold to it and
mm-hmm.
maintain your integrity and say, you know what, I don't know yet. I'm not sure what
right.
the diagnosis is. That's fine. You just won't get paid. And while that is in an ideal world, that would be just fine. That's not, we're not in an ideal world.
You don't get paid for seeing a patient. You get paid for making a diagnosis.
Exactly.
And that's the problem with the insurance
exactly.
industry today.
Right, right.
And, boy, I struggle with that.
Yeah. And so that's the problem number two. And I think that the third problem that I see,
mm-hmm.
at least, is that people want a diagnosis.
Right.
You know, if a person comes in to my office, they come in because they believe that something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell them, which I do, you know,
right.
this because I believe that this is important, I will say, you know what, I think that a lot of what you're experiencing is very normal
mm-hmm.
For this kind of situation. You know, this is what I would anticipate happening.
Right.
They are oftentimes dissatisfied with
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. With you, with the clinician, because
right.
you obviously don't know what's wrong with me.
Right.
You didn't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear what I was telling you, because
mm-hmm.
had you heard me, I would have a diagnosis when
right.
I leave here.
Right.
Because yeah, there's something wrong with me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this article is getting to, is that,
right.
you know, sometimes things happen in our lives that make us sad.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that we're depressed.
Right. Right.
Being sad is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Being anxious sometimes is normal.
Right.
Being angry is normal. You know, mm-hmm. all of these things that we experience sometimes are normal.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. If you're in a classroom and the work in that classroom is disinteresting to you, it's very challenging for you, it pushes you in areas that you're not accustomed to, you're going to be inattentive. It right. doesn't mean that you have ADHD.
Right.
It's normal.
Right. One of the things that I did a while ago, there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're in the 5th edition, but the 3rd edition had a revision.
Right.
So the reason there are 6 is because we had a 3
of the
and a 3R.
Right? Right.
The first DSM mm-hmm. was written in 1952. And it was looked like a little tiny recipe book, a little
right.
spiral binder. Mm-hmm. It was 120 pages long.
Right.
And it had 106 diagnoses.
Right.
By the time we get, and then they go through, I won't read all of them, but by the time we get to DSM-4 in 1994, mm-hmm. it is 886 pages long, and it has 297 diagnoses. So from 1952 to 1994, the 40-year period, we go from 120 pages to 880 pages and 106 diagnoses to 297 diagnoses. What Alan Francis is arguing is that we have to be very sure that we don't medicalize mm-hmm. what's normal behavior. Right. Are there really 250 or 300 diagnoses? Mm-hmm. Because DSM-5 has over 300
right.
diagnoses.
Yeah.
It's not much larger. It right. has many more diagnoses. Okay.
Right. And what it did was it changed some of the criteria for those diagnoses.
That's right.
That makes it much more easy.
Makes it easier
to diagnose.
Makes it easier to make that diagnosis.
To meet criteria.
And one of the things he rails against is what he calls false epidemics.
Right.
And he said when you make a diagnosis based just on a list of symptoms, mm-hmm. You run the risk of creating what he refers to as a false epidemic.
Right.
And he said the three best examples of this are ADHD, mm-hmm. Because not all children who receive the diagnosis right. have the disorder. The second one was autism, mm-hmm. and that was one of the problems in DSM-5. It's mm-hmm. much easier to make that diagnosis
right.
today. And the third was childhood bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. So we created large...
Because childhood bipolar disorder doesn't exist.
It doesn't even exist.
It's not even a diagnosis.
Right, right. But we turned it into one
right.
In the 1990s. Why? Because we could get reimbursed for it by the insurance companies. And so right. there was that little collusion. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm overstating it. But he says we create false epidemics. And mm-hmm. he's saying, and the other thing he says is, when it's this easy to make a diagnosis, and when the system mm-hmm. forces you to make a diagnosis, you end up running through the checklist saying, okay, you have these things. And he mentioned a study that was done, I don't remember when it was done, but it was the Rosenhan study, mm-hmm. where a physician asked his residents to go into emergency rooms, mm-hmm. claiming that they were hearing voices. They were not really patients.
Right.
They were pseudo-patients. Mm-hmm. But they were to admit themselves, they were to report to an emergency room and say, I'm hearing voices. Mm-hmm. Invariably, they were hospitalized and they were put on antipsychotic medications.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Though they didn't, and even later, and this was part of the experiment, even later when they said, I'm not feeling these things anymore, they were still kept in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they weren't able to get out. They were
right.
captured in the system. And so this was an embarrassment to the psychiatric community mm-hmm. and sort of a wake-up call. And based on that, some changes were made. But he fears that we're headed right back
right.
into the same dilemma, yeah. is that it's too easy now mm-hmm. to make a diagnosis
yeah.
just based on the symptom checklist.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So you know, we have to be cautious. And this is really a message for those of us
for
in
us.
The field.
It's a message, right.
You know, the clinicians... that we have to be cautious how we're dealing with these things and how we're communicating concerns and issues and symptoms and behaviors,
right.
But also to parents and individuals who seek treatment, that sometimes the message is, this is normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal to feel
right.
this way.
That's
in
right.
this situation. When you're experiencing what you're experiencing, this is normal. It's
right.
not a mental illness. It's not a medical issue.
Right.
This is normal.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the important messages. And the second one is that a diagnosis is not an explanation.
Right.
And we have this, it's a construct. You
right.
know, you and I, need to talk about a patient. A patient comes in, right. And I need to talk. And I said, Bernie, I think this child has ADHD. That's shorthand. Now you know what I'm talking about. Right. If I say she has depression, now you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
It's not an explanation. It's right. simply a way for you and me to communicate efficiently.
Right.
Okay. I think it's this right. or this or this. It's not an explanation of this person.
Right.
Okay. None of the schizophrenia is not the cause. Mm-hmm. It is simply an, if I say, I think she has schizophrenia, your brain goes to that mm-hmm. drawer and says, okay, I know what he's talking about right. now. So be careful that these are not explanations. You know, mm-hmm. You have ADHD and that, no.
Yeah.
That's not the explanation.
Right.
It's much larger than the diagnosis and right. much different than the diagnosis. This is what Archie Silver was so good at.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he could talk about, but he understood this yeah. whole person and right. a person in a context.
Right.
And that's what the older clinicians mm-hmm. A generation or two ago were so very good at.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and this week is about being normal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of normal.
Right.
Life is not easy.
Right.
And so, he mentions Friedrich Nietzsche's famous line, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right.
It's okay to have these normal variations, mm-hmm. and it's okay to struggle once in a while. The chances are is that you don't have a mental illness.
Right.
Statistically, you probably don't.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So let's entertain all that first.
Yeah.
We can always go to the diagnosis if we have to, but let's entertain normal first.
Right.
There's nothing
right.
wrong with normal.
Right.
And hence the name Saving Normal.
Right.
It's okay.
I agree.
Yeah.
Let's save it.
Save Normal.
Save Normal.
We should have t-shirts. Saving Normal.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
What?
I like these topics. I like this week.
You do?
I do.
Well, good.
No, it's time. It's time. You know, let's not medicalize everything.
Right.
You know, a lot of these kids shouldn't have these diagnoses and shouldn't be on these medications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it takes a thorough diagnosis to get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
More than a checklist.
Absolutely. Much more. So, all right. That's it?
Yeah.
Nothing else?
Well, I could. All we right. could. You and I could go on and on about this, but we'll stop.
For days. So, all right. So that is it for today then.
Right. But stay tuned because we have one tomorrow that's going to be good.
Yeah. So until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.